Thank you very much for very nice introduction. And I'm Gentagawa from Osaka University, Japan, and it is a great pleasure for me to be here and attend this excellent workshop of KITP. And I really appreciate the organizers' very kind invitation of me to this wonderful workshop. And I'd like to take this opportunity to talk about the periodic solution representing the origin of turbulent bands in channel flow. And this is my joint work with my student, Mr. Kanazawa and Dr. Schmitz. And let me start with a brief introduction of transition to turbulence in channel flow. And channel flow has a laminar velocity profile, what we call the plane Poiseuille flow. And that laminar profile becomes unstable at the linear critical Reynolds number here. But we see the turbulence below this Reynolds number, which has been triggered by the finite aptitude disturbance. In this case, in addition to plane crest flow, the plane Poiseuille flow is a good example of subcritical transition to turbulence. And this is our simulation. If we perform the DNS at the high Reynolds number, we see the featureless turbulence, but gradually reduce Reynolds number, and we see the large scale pattern in turbulent flow. And, but in this case, computational domain is not enough, so the band fully extended in a periodic box. And eventually we see, this is the two bands, and eventually we see the one down, one band, and spot, and they are transient. And I'd like to consider the turbulence structures at low Reynolds number here. And I'd like to recall the previous research done by John Tao, Chen, and Brandt. And they performed DNS in large computational domain, 2000H and 1060H. H is a half channel height. And they observed isolated turbulent band in the sense that band has a downstream end and upstream end. And this band exhibits extending, this is non-equilibrium, or decaying depending on the Reynolds number. And this is a disturbance kinetic energy. So increase in disturbance kinetic energy implies extension of the band. So they reported the critical value is around 660 based on the centerline velocity. And I will use bulk mean velocity, bulk Reynolds number based on bulk mean velocity. The corresponding value is 440. And if we increase the Reynolds number above this value, we see the monotonic increase in kinetic energy, implying extending, non-equilibrium. That is the previous observation. And I perform the DNS in larger domain than theirs to see what happened to our band. And we perform the direct numerical simulation for incompressible Navier-Stokes equation by using the Chebyshev-Fourier-Galerkin method. And the configuration is here, 2H, the full height. And our periodic box is Lx by Lz. And we drive the flow by constant flow rate. So we use bulk Reynolds number based on the constant bulk mean velocity. And the streamwise direction is denoted by x and wall normal y, and spanwise direction is denoted by z. And we non-dimensionalize all the quantity by using the bulk mean velocity and channel half height. And we consider the similar periodic boxes. And one is largest one is 500 times 250. And smaller one is 200 by 200 and 100 by 100. And at higher Reynolds number, we perform the largest box. So we use these grid points. And this is the example of our DNS. And this is fluctuating velocity with respect to the laminar velocity on the midplane. And you see the turbulent bands should be in equilibrium, roughly. No significant extension. And the band propagate in the streamwise direction as well as in the spanwise direction, the negative spanwise direction. And now I would like to discuss the length and angle of the band, and then I would also discuss the behavior of downstream edge of the band. And this is observation is a moving reference with the bound. And the propagation velocity is here. So in the streamline direction, bound propagate at 0.86. And in the spanwise direction, minus 0.1, roughly. Yes?
How do you fix this spread?
We just take the moving reference, but so this implies the propagation is quite steady, no change. That's okay. And we consider the size of the band, and in order to do so, we first consider the streamwise fluctuating energy, and streamwise and spanwise average. And this is the streamwise average to the streamwise fluctuation energy in a along the spanwise direction. And this is the streamwise direction. And you see this part with the larger energy roughly imply the bound. And we set threshold bound, unity times 10 to minus 3, excuse me, to identify the lengths, spanwise lengths and streamwise lengths of the bound. And this is red implies the streamwise lengths and blue spanwise lengths. And we also inspect the inclination angle theta, defined in this way. And you see, we see the fluctuation in time of the lengths. And this fluctuation stems from the splitting of upstream tail from the bound. But that is intermittent, and roughly speaking, we see almost the constant, the length. In this sense, our band should be in equilibrium state. And the same is true for the inclination angle. The inclination angle is around 40 degrees, fixed. And excuse me. And this Reynolds number is the lowest Reynolds number. And if we further decrease the Reynolds number from this value, what we see is a delaminarization. So roughly speaking, this is the onset Reynolds number of our burn. And maybe you know Professor Sano and Tamai recently show the consistency of critical exponent of turbulent fraction in their turbulent channel flow with 2+1 dimensional directed percolation, the universal exponent. This one is the observation and this one is the universal exponent. And they reported the critical Reynolds number is 830. But in our the simulation, at Reynolds number much lower than 830, we still see the sustaining bands. Very wide domain, free from the interaction of the another band or tail and head of the band. And I'm afraid about the effects of periodicity on our band. I would like to check. And this is a span-wise length of band as a function of bulk Reynolds number. And we see at low Reynolds number, the span-wise length is smaller than the periodic box indicated by dotted line. And the length of band is increased with increasing Reynolds number in this way. So I expect that at least at low values of Reynolds number, we would be free from the effect of the periodicity. But if we increase Reynolds number, the length of span-wise, excuse me, the span-wise length of the band is around the periodic length. So I'm not sure about the effect of the periodicity on the band. But at least I can say that at low Reynolds number, we would be free from the effect of periodicity, and band would be in equilibrium. And if we increase the Reynolds number, the length of band should be increased with increasing Reynolds number. This is our observation. And next, I would like to talk about the behavior of downstream edge. This is a close-up of the downstream edge. And this is a streamline direction and span direction. We are taking the moving reference frame. And firstly, you see the red spot here. And red implies the speed larger than laminar velocity. So downstream edge, we see the very fast region. And this is the downstream edge, and just upstream of downstream edge, we see the very beautiful coherent flow state around here. But further downstream of the, excuse me, further upstream of the downstream edge here, we see the turbulent state. So, and this is the three-dimensional visualization of flow structures in this part. And vertical structures are visualized by second invariant of velocity gradient tensor. And red, pink, or sky blue represent counter-clock or clockwise rotation. Yes, on this. And you see, this is a high-speed region. And the high speed region generate the vertical structures, and they will be left behind the high speed region in this way. But if we far from the high speed region, we see is a bit messy turbulent parts. Now I would like to extract the just coherent part by removing the messy part, by introducing the spatial filter in this way. And this is external forcing, but please note that the laminar state is still stable solution to this forced Navier-Stokes system. And the forcing has a damping intensity alpha, and F takes zero outside the circle. So this is Navier-Stokes part. And inside the circle, we have the external forcing. And inside this circle, F takes the value of unity. And this is a buffer region. The ring is buffer region. And we consider the hyperbolic tangent type buffer layer. And C is a local maximum point of streamwise velocity at midplane. And Rx, Rz is its coordinate. And C prime is Rx minus D, Rz plus D in this configuration. And we remove the turbulent part by using this external forcing. And the similar kind of approach has been already done by Javier and Siemens. And they consider the damping mask in minimal turbulent channel in this way. F takes unity in a close vicinity of the wall. That implies Navier-Stokes. But if we go up, F takes less than, the value less than unity, so damping. And they can extract the near-wall coherent structures by filtering out the messy upper part. And up to the values of the forcing, but they see the coherent but chaotic dynamics or weak torus. And in the special choice of parameters, they observed periodic motion in a moving reference frame. That is relative periodic orbit, and streak and streamwise vortices. And more recently, Teramura and To consider the introduction of a damping force in high Reynolds number two-dimensional turbulent channel flow here. And this forcing is imposed just in this part. And very high Reynolds number and turbulent flow, but we see the localized structures. And they proposed ejection jet cycle for their two-dimensional turbulence. And now we impose spatial forcing in our system. And this is after the action of the forcing. You see just the coherent part has been extracted and it could sustain. And let's see. Please take a look at the T equals L. That is longer. And immediately that bound will be shortened. That is the introduction of the forcing. And I can say that, and if we, in this simulation, we set D, the position of the forcing, 19. But if we reduce the value, we see the delaminarization. So in this sense, this downstream edge can sustain without turbulent tail. So the essential mechanism should be in the downstream edge. But in this case, Reynolds number is high, so we see the chaotic state. And next, we reduce Reynolds number a bit, so we see the periodic solution in this system. And you see the completely periodic flow dynamics, and this is the downstream edge, and this is the vortex structures, and this is periodic. And this high-speed region is very important for generation of the vortex structure to be left behind. And I can say that, mathematically speaking, this extraction mentions that the sustaining mechanism of the turbulent band can be explained in terms of the simple invariant solution, the periodic solution. And physically speaking, the appearance of the vortices would be simple, because here we have the locally high-speed region. We are taking a moving reference frame. And this is a low-speed region. So we see, of course, we are in a wall-bounded shear flow, but we expect something like the shear layer type sinuous instability, and that could generate the Stuttgart array of the vortical structures similar to the von Kármán vortex suite. And this is the consequence of the instability of high-speed region. And in this case, we filter out a messy part, but if we filter out, we see the secondary instability or something like that to the turbulent vortex structure, the chaotic, but we have removed that part. So as I mentioned before, the key part is the appearance of the high-speed region, local high-speed region. So I would like to consider the physical mechanism of the appearance of high-speed region. This is mean velocity field, mean velocity field for the periodic orbit. And you see here the wall normal law appear. And this law can induce high-speed region here. Okay, and please note that the redistribution of laminar flow could not expect this high-speed region, because that is faster than laminar flow. So we need wall normal vortices, not streamlined vortices, in this way. And this is a mean velocity vector on y equals 0.5, closer to the wall. And we see rho. And if we get closer to the mid-plane, we see the shift of the center of the rho in a streamlined direction in this way. This implies our wall normal rho has an inclination from the wall normal direction to the streamlined direction in this way. And we also have the counterpart rho on the lower wall, this one and this one. So they have mutual interaction with each other. So in this vector implies a mutual induction. These two rows have the mutual induction. This is why our downstream edge moved in the spanwise direction, mutual induction. And in the close vicinity of the midplane, these two vortices are closer, so they have a stronger induction. So that's why in the central region, we see the stronger or faster velocity, streamlined velocity, than laminar flow. And if the load were purely wall normal in this way, so that is perpendicular to mean shear, so that would decay. But real inclined loads can undergo the stretching under the action of mean shear, so that could be sustained. And that high-speed region generates vortices, and that should be left, that will be left behind and exhibit turbulence. And if we switch off the forcing, you see the downstream edge extend to turbulent bound in this way. So periodic edge can generate turbulent bound. And now I would like to track our solution. And this is a bifurcation diagram of our periodic solution with respect to the Reynolds number. And we see our periodic solution arises from saddle node bifurcation around at Reynolds M, 447 or so. And the vertical axis represents the local maximum of 3D energy in time in this way. So lower branch and upper branch is a periodic solution, and upper branch is stable, so attractor, and laminar state is also attractor, the edge state. Lower branch is edge state. And this is upper branch and lower branch. They are more or less the same, but the upper branch has a stronger amplitude. And this is also a bifurcation diagram of the periodic solution, but with respect to the damping in force intensity. And you see the our solution exhibit the saddle node bifurcation. So this solution cannot connect to the Navier-Stokes, that's alpha equals zero, in this Reynolds number. And in between the periodic solution, we see the torus on the upper branch, torus. And I expect, I hope, if we increase the Reynolds number, if so, our band is longer. So we also increase periodic box dimension. If so, this branch can connect to the pure Navier-Stokes system. This is just hope, I don't know. We are now working on the continuation, our periodic solution towards the pure Navier-Stokes system. And we also track the attractor by changing the, by reducing the damping intensity. And this is the result. Alpha equals 0.4 here, we see the stable periodic solution and still periodic and torus. And then a turbulent state appears. This one and this one. And please note that this is sustaining. However, if we consider here, this is a turbulent bound in the Navier-Stokes system. But in this case, please note that our box is small, so fully extend. So tail and head strongly interact with each other. So this is a transient bound. But I can say that our solution can connect to the Navier-Stokes bound, but transient. So I expect around here, the boundary crisis might occur, and that leads to the transition from chaotic attractor to chaotic saddle. If we just consider the Navier-Stokes system, what we see is always transient bound, but if we consider the force system, we can identify the transition from chaotic attractor to chaotic saddle, and we are also working on this now. And I would like to conclude my talk. Turbulent bounds of equilibrium lengths have been observed in large numerical domain. Turbulent bounds can be sustained up to, down to around Reynolds M 140, and relative periodic orbits have been discovered in spatially localized damping force Navier-Stokes system, and the periodic solution mathematically provides self-sustaining mechanism of downstream edge, and physically inclined and thus a stretched wall normal loss player law in sustaining of the bound. And if damping force is reduced, upper branch solution loses its stability, and eventually chaotic solution appears to represent turbulent bounds of longer array of complex vortices. And a periodic solution representing turbulent bounds might be connected to full Navier-Stokes system. And recently, Bion and his student found simple invariant solution representing turbulent bounds. We expect some relevance with their result. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Genkta. Fabulous timing. Do we have any questions for Genkta?
So state your name and your... Rob Poole, Liverpool. Thanks, very nice. Your boxes are huge, right, compared to normal simulations. Now, in experiments, you've got finite-sized domains. So have you actually looked at what the effect of sidewalls might be? You know, because you'll never make an experiment that's 250 hex. Yeah, have you ever done any simulations to have an effect of what the sidewall might do to these structures?
Yeah, in case, I'm not sure your point, but in case of the experiment, maybe Professor Sano performed the experiment in the comparable dimension, I think. But at that case, the effect of sidewall is the problem.
So there's experiments with
250... And inflow and downflow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Björn Hof, just a comment on this 440 and the point of the previous question. So we performed experiments in an aspect ratio of 400 width by 4,000, I believe, in length, and we get roughly 450 in this definition of the Reynolds number. Of course, we have sidewalls. We don't have periodic boundary conditions, but we get something very close to your onset number.
Thank you.
Do you remember Sano, Professor Sano's aspect ratio? Does anyone know?
Roy Parker work. It's 720H, I believe, by 6,000 divided by 5 in length. 6,000 divided by 2.5 in length.
So not small.
But it's not so large for if we consider the directed Park region. I see.
John Gibson, University of New Hampshire. Have you looked at the, have you compared the upper branch solution? So the periodic solution that you got was with finite damping, right? And then as you decrease it, and that's a real periodic solution which you've solved by Newton-Krylov methods and got a solution. Okay, good. So you decrease the, and that has an upper branch. I guess what I'm wondering about is the relation of the unstable upper branch to the dynamics in the unforced case. Yeah, those lines. You haven't computed the dashed lines yet? You haven't got the dashed lines of speculation?
We are now working on the
You're
extension.
Working on that.
But
okay.
Because that is very tough. As I mentioned before, if we increase the Reynolds number, the bound will extend. So we need larger domain. So this tracking is quite tough. If not, our bound fully penetrate the periodic box. But
here's my question. Can you relate what you've observed in the undamped Navier-Stokes case to the behavior of the solutions or the instabilities that grow off the upper branch or the lower branch. So one of them is chaotic, but what you've got is a stable periodic orbit.
This is, in this case, Reynolds M equals 550. This is stable. And torus appears, and chaotic. So this is a kind of the bifurcation diagram of the upper branch. So I can say that the upper branch, we see the connection from the periodic solution, torus, chaos, and chaotic saddle. But the periodic solution itself, we are now working because we need a Newton computation.
But I noticed things like in the turbulent case, it looked like the vortices were going towards the boundary and being absorbed by the boundary, and the periodic solutions that you were showing, it's the opposite direction. I was just kind of wondering about what you've seen, just comparisons of the behavior of the unforced chaotic edge. How close is that beautiful solution found to the actual
this
behavior?
This is, this slide is, first we take the periodic solution at some phase, and we turn off the forcing, and maybe you see that this extension is from periodic to turbulent bound. And if we remove the forcing, the vortex can survive further upstream of the edge and exhibit turbulent behavior, something like that. And I don't think this part could not highly affected by the removing of the forcing.
Other questions?
Professor Kurzweil.
Rich Kurzweil, Bristol. I'm just wondering, is there any mileage to be had by doing a Barclay and Tuckerman and changing your domain to be really long in the direction of the band and then restricted in the span-wise direction rather than having your very big domain, which is just arbitrarily orientated?
If my answer is strange, please tell me. Lastly, we have a discussion with the Dwight, Lorette, and Matt, and this part does not exist in a band in quet form. This is a special in plane positive form. I'm not sure. But if we have this one, we expect a sustaining bound. But that is not the case for the plane quet form.
My question is slightly different. It's not trying to relate it to quet flow. It's more changing your geometry.
Mm-hmm. Changing
the geometry to match. So at the moment, your discretization is sort of parallel and perpendicular to the direction of the shear flow. What's to say that you can't change your periodicity such that it's at oblique angles to the shear, like?
That you mean the change of the angle?
Yeah.
Depending on the period.
Yeah. So which dimension is important?
Yeah, I think so. But in this case, we use a much larger domain, so we would be free from the direct effects of the periodicity, but if we short the box dimension, we would see the dependence. 40, around 40. 40 degrees inclination angle. I'm strange. That's okay.
You're not strange, but I think you might, answer a slightly different question. I mean, what my comment was, just because this is presumably very computationally expensive to have these big domains, and especially when you're trying to move your forced solution to an unforced situation, I just wondered if there's any mileage in changing the way you discretize, such that you really have a, you know, in the sensitive direction, you have a long domain,
mm-hmm.
and in the direction which presumably is spanwise to your structure, mm-hmm. not to the actual underlying shear flow, you actually reduce the dimension of your domain. So you orientate your computational domain to your structure. That's a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. So you suggested to me that we would work on the smaller domain.
No.
Ah, okay. Oblique periodic.
Yeah.
Just
a suggestion. I see.
Thank you. Still, we have a still ends, but the oblique. I see. Thank you. I will try.
Dwight Barclay, University of Wart. When you decrease the Reynolds number slightly, and not in the damped system, but in the full system, and you lose this structure. It seems to me there's two ways it could happen. I'm going to use my hands. This is your source, and this is the tail. Does the tail roll up to the source, or do you lose the source and then the whole thing dissipate? Is my question clear?
Yeah. So the latter is, excuse me, the source is exist and shorten.
Joe Klawicki, University of New Hampshire, and Melbourne, I guess. In your cartoon of the self-sustaining mechanism, you have an omega y, and then you have it's bound on each side by omega x. If you added a little bit of couette motion, say forward motion, and gave it an asymmetry,
if we add
a little bit of couette motion, so make one of the walls move slightly, you'd kill the symmetry that would seem to sustain that. What could you speculate on what you think would happen then?
Hard question. But the breaking of symmetry could lead to the drastic change, I think. But I have not done, so I cannot say anything about that. But I expect big change, because we already have the big difference between the Planck weight and the channel flow, as I mentioned before. If we break the symmetry,
Kengo Deguchi, Monash University. I died in symmetry in vertical direction. So the structure have some symmetry in vertical direction. So
this structure does not have symmetry.
Okay.
Because I don't know, maybe we could have some non-trivial symmetry. But
okay, I see.
Because here we have the more or less the mirror symmetric structures and anti-symmetric structure that appears depending on the place.
Yeah, so since the structure seems anti-symmetric with respect to
some part. And here we expect the closer to mirror symmetric and anti-symmetric, something like that.
Okay.
In total, we don't know.
Okay, so if there's a symmetry, you can reduce the computational cost, of course.
If any. Thank you.
Thank you. Laurette, one last question.
Laurette Tuckerman, CNRS ESPCI France. The colors there, I'm sort of imagining the blue and the red as being plus and minus, and then the light purple as being where UX is exceeds the laminar flow by is that light purple?
This is, excuse me, very
yes.
different. Yeah, I'm
yes.
very sorry.
Yes.
This
okay.
one is this.
Yes, okay, that's
and this one
yes.
and this,
yes.
yeah.
Yes, okay. Mm.
Hi, John Gibson, University of New Hampshire. So you mentioned von Karman Court Vortex Street there, which is yeah, just jumping out at us. What can have you looked in any more detail about how accurately that replicates something, you know, cylinder wake or?
You mean the
I mean,
that's, precise?
That's, yeah, I expect a little cylinder, you know, at the right
yeah.
edge of that
the
tail.
You mean the similarity to the von Karman vortex
switch? Yes.
Oh. But this, as I mentioned, this is similar, but we are in a wall bounded flow, so we don't have any inflectional point. So we could not directly trace back to the von Karman vortex suite, but maybe this is a much larger amplitude of the nonlinear trimming shifting wave, something like that, I don't know. Because this part largely modified the mean flow profile closer to, not to free shear, but closer to free shear. I would find time to perform on some stability analysis of this mean flow.
All right, I think it's time for coffee, and we'll sing.
Yeah.
Wait.
So, I just have to add something that KITP has requested. We are, a large part of what we're doing is communicating to a broader physics community through the recorded lectures, which will go on the web. And so KITP has requested that we think about their use of acronyms in our talks and in our questions, and to try to spell those things out so that the physics community can understand what we're doing better. Okay, so speakers, look through your talks for acronyms and try to spell them out. Sorry.